I think my name was given out first. Whether it meant I was to speak first, I'm not too sure. But at least we thought we would do that. Book of Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 14, please. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, If a soul, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation, thy shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary, for the trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm which he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance, wherein he erred and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He hath certainly trespassed against the law. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, If a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbour in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbour, or hath found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely, in any of all these that a man doeth sinning therein, then it shall be, because he hath sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found. Or all that about which he had sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish, out of the flock, with thy estimation, for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. And may it please the Lord to grant his blessing to the reading of his precious word. For those that are not acquainted, you only have to listen to my voice, of course, to know that I'm not from this side of the water. This was the video, and we trust that God will grant his blessing as we are together and go there to speak to the Lord. Last night, our brother Albert Leslie, he brought before us a few thoughts out of the Book of Leviticus chapter 6, on verse 8, down to verse 13. He was setting before us there, Father God, the necessity of keeping the fire burning. And he was bringing before us the fact that the saints of God ought to keep their exercise fresh before the Lord and their hearts warm in relation to spiritual worship. My mind turned to these verses because this afternoon for a little while I would just like to bring before you something from this trespass offering of hope. This trespass offering we're going to look at, child of God, we shall see, has to do with believers. It has to do with the likes of you, and it has to do with the likes of me. It has to do with people that fail. And we're going to see in chapter 5, it's those that fail God. When we come to chapter 6, we shall see it's those that fail our fellow man, that fail our brethren. And if our dear brother last night was seeing things and bringing before us things that could hinder the fire of God and our warmth for him, I want us this afternoon just to take a look, child of God, at a few things that could cause you and me to fail and could cause us to fail miserably. Now, these offerings that we have in Leviticus chapters 1 through to 6 and verse 7, The other means by of God, whereby the saints of God in a day gone by were going to approach him. In the first three chapters, we have a burnt offering. They all come under what is known as an ascending offering. Just once, at the beginning of chapter 1, the Lord spake to Moses and said, if any man bring a burnt offering, or an ascending offering. That ascending offering, child of God, was the freewill offering of the saints of God in their deep appreciation of what God had wrought for them. And out of full hearts, they were coming, and they were going to give God something. God himself prescribes what they bring. You see, child of God, just as in worship, just as in salvation, so in worship, you can't approach God anyhow. When I got saved, God told me how I had to get saved. And when I got saved, child of God, I could only get saved by bowing to the ways that God had set before me. I couldn't have been saved otherwise. And one thing I had to learn was that if I was going to be a worshipper, then, child of God, I've got to move in the way that God wants me to move too. Because if I couldn't get saved anyhow, Leviticus teaches me I can't worship anyhow. And God has made provision for us in our worship. And chapters 1, 2, and 3 would tell us what God wants when we're worshiping. Child of God, God knows what he wants. And God wants you and I to move in a way which he has set forth for us. When it comes to salvation, that great hymn that would tell us, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. But child of God, when it comes to worship, it's not nothing in my hand I bring. God is going to fill our hands. And God is going to tell us exactly what we must bring. And the psalmist puts it well. Gather my saints together before me, those that have made a covenant by sacrifice, and let no man appear before me empty. And in those early chapters, God tells us exactly what he wants. A bullock. A goat. A sheep. Turtle doves. Or, for a meal offering, fine flour with other ingredients. And then in relation to a peace offering, he told them what he wanted to. Child of God, God is seeking to set forth before us exactly how we should approach him. But when I come to chapters 4, 5 and 6, to the verses that we've read, we don't have an offering that is going to be for Jehovah's pleasure. But what we do have, child of God, is that which is going to restore you and me when sin comes in. Because from chapter 4 onwards, we have what is known as a sin offering. Chapters 4 down to 5 and verse 14. And then we have, child of God, a trespass offering. Now the difference is very simple. A sin, it affects me. It's what I do. A trespass is as it affects others. It's my sin that affects others. And a trespass is really violating somebody's rights. And what we're going to learn this afternoon is that God has got rights. That child of God is verses 14 to 19 of chapter 5. God has got rights. And when I come to chapter 6, verses 1 to 7, I discover that my fellow brethren have got rights. And I can't live as I like. And I can't do as I like. God has got claims upon me, child of God. My fellow brethren have got claims upon me too. And I can fail God miserably. And I can fail my fellow brethren miserably. And I can violate divine rights, child of God. And I can violate your rights. I can be a trespasser. You see, this sin and trespass offering, it has nothing at all to do with the salvation of a sinner. These offerings here
how I'm going to be brought back to God when I have sinned, or when I have trespassed. Because, child of God, if I sin, it's going to affect my worship. And if I trespass, child of God, it's going to affect my worship. But I cannot worship if sin is lodging within the heart. And if those things that our brother was speaking about last night, if they were about us, child of God, it's going to make us that we cannot move before God as we are. And we're not going to move as worshippers in the presence of God. And God is going to be wrath. But when God saved you, and when God saved me, child of God, it wasn't only to put you in heaven. If God wanted to save you just to put you in heaven, he could have done that the moment you were saved. But when the children of Israel were redeemed by precious blood out of Egypt, the word was that went to Pharaoh, let my people go. Why? That they might come into the land? No, child of God. When God saved that people out of Egypt, it wasn't only to bring them into the promised land. That's going to be one of the benefits. For the message that Moses took to Pharaoh years ago was, let my people go that they might serve me. 3 days' journey into the wilderness. And God wanted a people out of the world that might be gathered before him in connection with that tabernacle and child of God, that there they might serve God. And when God put his hand upon you, and when God put his hand upon me, it wasn't to give us a mere passport ticket into heaven. Child of God, it was that life of yours might be for his pleasure. You might move before him for his own glory. That's why God saved you. And we have responsibility today to see that God is glorified and God does get from us what he wants. Tragedy is sin comes in. Or a trespass comes in. And child of God, when that comes in, and failure has broken out, God is not getting from your life and from mine what was the desire of his heart when he brought us to salvation. The child of God, sin will keep us from the presence of God. And sin will stop us from moving before him in worship. If I rob and violate God of his claims, or if I rob my brethren and violate them of their claims, child of God, I can't be a worshipper. You remember, won't you? Particularly in relation to this trespass offering. The words of our Lord Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. When he said to that man that is bringing his gift to the altar, he's coming as a worshipper. Ah, but you remember that your brother hath aught against thee. Says God, don't you come and place your offering upon the altar, please. You leave your gift by the altar. And first go home and be reconciled with your brother, or go and be reconciled with your brother, then let him offer. The child of God, if there's failure in the life, it is going to hinder our worship Godward. And we cannot come before God until those problems have been settled and sorted. The words of the Lord Jesus would tell us very, very clearly that we need to leave our gift at the altar if sin or trespasses come in. We need to put matters right. Well, in relation to sin, that which affects me and affects my life, chapters 4 and 5 down to verse 13 there, touches the sin offering. I don't want to touch that for a moment. What I want us to do is to look at the trespass offering, child of God. That trespass offering, as we see here from verse 14 onwards, is that which affects God, and a trespass which affects my fellow brethren. First of all, take a look at the verses, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance. Child of God, I notice this, that when you and I sin, it should always be through ignorance. It should never be a deliberate action. I was talking with a dear brother just during the week. He was talking about the fact of failure in the life. The book of Galatians, that talks about a brother being overtaken in a thought. You know when someone is overtaken in it, don't you? They tell me, I drive pretty fast, you know. Now we can go a wee bit quicker in England than you can over here in Canada. And I tell you, there's something I don't like. And that's being overtaken. I like that outside lane, you know, and I like my foot down to the board. And I never expect to get overtaken. And sometimes it's a surprise when I get overtaken. I've not been looking in my mirror, you see. And because I wasn't looking in my mirror, I didn't see this thing coming up. Because if I'd have seen it coming up, my foot would have gone on a wee bit heavier. And I'd have been away a lot quicker, you see. I didn't expect to get overtaken. Listen, child of God. When it comes to sin, God never expects you to go out deliberately to sin. The Bible says he's going to sin through ignorance. The book of Galatians says he's overtaken in a thought. So that this morning I did not get up to set my course that in some way I was going to violate divine claims and I was going to move contrary to the mind and will of God. And I did not get up this morning and have within my breast a desire that I was going to do down my brethren and that they were going to get hurt at my expense. And I was going to make gain of them. Child of God, God doesn't expect me to go out deliberately to set myself against him or to set myself against my brethren. But notice again, when you come down to verse 15, it tells me that if this sin is a sin of ignorance, it says, I can sin in the holy things of the Lord. But notice, when you come down to verse 17, I can't only sin in relation to the holy things of the Lord, but when I come down to verse 17, it says, if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord. Child of God, I can sin in holy things. And I can sin in relation to the commandments of the law. So that God has rights upon me, both into relation with what are the holy things of God. And child of God, he's got claims of me on me in relation to the commandments of the law. What are the holy things? But I suggest practically, the various gatherings of which the saints of God are bidden to be. You see, child of God, when God saved you, when God saved me, he never saved me to be an independent. We have a group of folks at home called Independent Methodists. We have others called Independent Baptists. We have some called Free Independents. And we have some believers that seem to be very independent. They seem to be able to get along fine without any other Christian. They have never known what it was to gather with saints of God and to move in a way that glorifies God. Child of God, when I come to my New Testament, I discover that God had a divine pattern for his own. When I come to the opening of the Book of the Acts, I come to discover that when God moved in salvation, the object of that salvation was again not to leave me as an isolationist, not to leave me as an independent. They that received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them. But when I come to the book of Acts in chapter 2, I discover that there's a company of saints that have been gathered to the name of our Lord Jesus, and here to form that which is for his glory and pleasure in assembly. And child of God, there's a responsibility to be gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus. And not only a responsibility, but when I come to see it again, I discover that those believers, they continued steadfastly. I remember being in Ireland many, many years ago. Remember Irish folks are Muslims. And I was only a boy. I'd just gone over for a holiday. For the meeting I'd gone to, there was a little bit of trouble in it. That's sad, isn't it? When there's a little bit of trouble in meetings. There ought not to be trouble in meetings. God has taught us all that needs to be done to maintain a gathering. And brethren, if there comes in trouble in holy things here, I guarantee that there's somebody trespassing. There's somebody violating divine claims. And there's somebody usurping their own mind or their own authority. Meetings ought to move harmoniously. There ought to be a beauty about a gathering and a desire for saints to be there. But there'd been a little trouble. And it seems that the brethren, they were putting a little brake on, you know, and they weren't letting the saints of God have an open-air meeting. And I'll never forget the man that I was staying with on the Sunday morning when they told them that the open-air meeting was cancelled. He got up to read for us from the book of Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. And I'll never forget what he said, you know, when he said, some people think it means, be ye steadfast, unmovable. You know, child of God, sometimes I wonder about saints of God, whether they're steadfast. For the steadfast can't get out, can they? And they're not able to be in the gathering. What a tragedy when there are those who sit and pray, make a profession of faith in Christ, have owned Him as Lord and Savior, and yet they could hardly find time to be at the various gatherings of the local assembly. Child of God, in apostolic times, they continue together steadfastly, for it seems that there was a claim that God had upon them. You see, when you've been brought into fellowship with the local assembly, child of God, it's not an optional extra to a Christian life, you know. And those gatherings are not there for you to pick and choose. You've been brought and made part of a body. Corinthians 12 makes it very, very clear. And in that body, child of God, all the members should be there. You see, when I came out today, I made sure I brought all my members. My nose is still with me, you see. My old ears are still here. I'm glad they're back. And it is for me to hang these, and I find my nose and my ears, they do a very good job now. But I brought everything with me, you see. I needed to bring everything with me. And child of God, when it comes to the gatherings of God's assembly, there's a need for the saints of God to be gathered. We can sin in the holy things of the Lord. My mind is turned to Elimelech. You remember him, won't you? Out of the book of Ruth. Child of God, it would seem when I look at that lovely book of Ruth, that for the sake of the gold in his pocket, that man forsook the gathering of the assembling of himself together. A famine in the land. I don't know what caused the famine. I'm sure of this, child of God, it wasn't the worthlessness of the land. Maybe the wickedness of the people. When every man was doing that which was right in his own eyes. When the mind of God was not being stamped upon the people. But here's a man, Elimelech, and taking his wife and taking his wee boys, they went down to Moab, to sojourn there. And the Bible tells us, child of God, 10 years, 10 years he was down in Moab. And the tragedy in those 10 years is he lost everything. 10 years away, child of God. Should he have been away? What does the book say, Deuteronomy? That the saints of God, three times in a year, they were to gather before the Lord in the place where he would choose to put his name. But here's a man for the sake of the gold in his pocket, it would seem. When Naomi comes back, she says, I went out full, but the Lord hath brought me home again empty. And in the days of the famine, that man to preserve what he had. He's prepared to forsake the gathering. Not only himself, but his family. For one of the tragedies is, child of God, when you embark upon a course, very seldom does it affect you and you only. Elimelech affected his wife. And with Elimelech, it affected his children. And the tragedy is, his children were never recovered. I'm just reminded, when Israel and I read years ago, when a man, he came to the brethren and he asked them, would they pray for his son? Or one of his sons? The boy was getting away from him. No interest in spiritual things. A lad in his 20s and still not saved, and suddenly the father starts to have pangs about his salvation. You know what the tragedy was, child of God, was that those brethren, they turned to that man and they said, brother, no point in you bringing your problems here. For the last 20 years, you've never had one whit of interest in your boy's salvation. You've been interested in making money. You've got yourself a fine house. You've everything this world can give you. You've been interested in the education of your children. You've wanted the very best in the world for them. And now when he's 21 and he's getting away, you're expecting us to do something about it? You've never been to a prayer meeting? We hardly see it in the Bible reading. And your home has been very, very shallow. And now you're expecting us to do something about it? Brother, you'd better put matters right at home. And get your life sorted out. And then perhaps we can pray for you. Child of God, there's many in Elimelech today, sadly. And for what they can gain and glean from this world, and the interest they have for their children for this world, costing them very, very dear. And for 10 years, that man was away from the holy things of the Lord. 3 times in a year he ought to have been there. 3 times in a year he ought to have been taking the family up. And child of God, God ought to have been getting something. Sadly, God got nothing from him. Tell me, are the trespassers amongst us? Child of God, is your life what it ought to be before God? Does God get his portion? Or are you robbing God today? Are you robbing God today? So that's what a trespass is, isn't it? You remember the book of Malachi? Will a man rob God? Child of God, when you got saved, you remember again the words of Corinthians, won't you? You're not your own. Some believers have forgotten, you know, what the book would teach. Bought with a price. Know the price today. And yet we forget divine claims upon us. We forget the place that God has brought us to. We forget, child of God, the responsibilities that are ours, Godward, and sadly, we trespass, and we trespass violently before God. I trust it's only in ignorance. But I do trust, child of God, that you'll start to realize the responsibilities that God has upon you. And you'll start to put life that life of yours, if, as yet, God has been getting robbed. And I hope you'll move for the good of your family. But the tragedy is, oftentimes in these things, it's not only ourselves, you know, it's so many others that are affected by it. Trespassing in the holy things of the Lord. When God had divine wrath, they ought to have been gathering with the saints of God 10 years away. No, mine doesn't only go to Elimelech. I remember those boys, Eli's sons. You remember them, won't you? sons of Bilam, evil men. What a tragedy. Priests under the law, the child of God, evil men. And you remember again, won't you, how that they trespass in the holy things of the Lord? For you know, this book that we're looking at, the book of Leviticus, it sets before us how the... For you know, this book that we're looking at, the book of Leviticus, it sets before us how these priests ought to have moved in the handling of holy things. As we said earlier, you cannot move as you like in relation to holy things. Child of God, why do we gather as we do? Why are we careful in our approach Godward? Because we have a thus saith the Lord. And though I haven't time today to go into all the details, here we come to the book of Leviticus, and these priests, they had their portion. We were told last night how that in connection with that burnt offering, the priest, he had to have the skin of the burnt offering. And that the features of that burnt offering were to mark his life. For you see, when he was moving in the world, he'd be wearing the skin of the burnt offering. If you moved into his home, you'd have seen it there as carpet. You'd have seen it as hangings upon his wall. You'd have seen it as coverings for his bed. All the features of that burnt offering, child of God, that burnt offering Christ, and when the saints of God are moving in priestly exercise, and they've got an appreciation of Christ, and they're presenting before the Father the person of the Lord Jesus, child of God, the skin of that offering. Brother Albert said last night, the beauty of it. Marking the whole character of his life. Seen about him in everything. I tell you, it's a blessed thing where you can see men that are moving in a priestly way. Men that know what it is to move in the presence of God and give God what he desires in worship. Child of God, such men, the skin of the offering, it's going to mark them. And it'll mark their home. It'll be all about even the very private quarters, you know, the very bedroom. The shoes for the feet, wherever they went. I tell you, the more offerings that there were of those bullocks, those goats, those sheep, the more it would adorn the priestly house. And when saints of God are moving in worship, child of God, the more the features of Christ will be seen about the home. I tell you, sometimes you go into homes and you'll wonder just how much of Christ is there. And sometimes you'll wonder how much of the skin of the offering is there. You'd wonder, child of God, whether there's any appreciation of Christ. For there seems to be an element of the world about it. And there seems to be a mark of the world upon it. And instead of seeing godliness and seeing the features of God upon it, child of God, oftentimes it's far removed from what ought to be the home of a child of God. Those that know what it is to be within the Word of God and setting these things aright, both in assembly and in the life. But I think again of those boys, Eli's sons. But they weren't only given the skin, you know. The Bible says they were given the waved breast and they were given the heaved shoulder. They were to learn something of the affections of our Lord Jesus. They were to get something of the strength of our Lord Jesus. For the shoulder's the place where you carry the burden, isn't it? These men were going to get the good of that, you know, in the ministry. But you know what was happening? When I go to the book of Samuel, it tells me how these men, instead of being content with what God had done, child of God, they were trespassing in holy things. For the Bible says they were going and they were taking flesh hooks and they were putting in and taking out what they would by force if need be. They had forgotten the mind of God. They were discarding divine principles that had been set down for them. They were moving according to their own will. There's a dear lady there in those days, wasn't there? There was a Hannah. The Bible tells us that she came with her three bullets. And rather this child of God, if those priestly men ruined and made a mockery of what was of God, it does seem to me that that little element, that true element, that little remnant, has seen in Anna. If they might have ruined what she brought and destroyed the very character of her offering, those men that ought to have known better, I see that my God, he took Anna's offering on the ground of which she gave it, you know. God appreciated what she did and the heart and movement behind what she brought. If God is going to expose the folly of those two men, Eli's sons, child of God, what a tragedy when these will seek to move in the holy things of the Lord and will spoil what God has set before them and move according to their own mind. Listen, child of God. God has not only got claims upon us, as far as the gathering centre is concerned, but even the way that we move and we approach God and how we present things to God. We're living in a day when tragically brethren are turning aside the word of God. And those divine principles that have been set for us, so clear, so clear. If we read the book of Corinthians, we read the book of Timothy, unmistakable, the mind of God in relation to the assembly. But child of God, there are those still that would seek to turn the word of God aside, that it might move as they would desire. Elimelech's, Eli's sons. I can only think of them, you know. I can think of an Eliashib too. You'll find him in the book of Nehemiah in chapter 13. And here again we discover, here was a man that sinned in relation to the holy things of the law. Will a man rob God? Child of God, there were sad days. Those days of Nehemiah 13, there was a priest of God, and the Bible tells us how he got himself into an unholy alliance. He got himself into an alliance with Tobiah the Ammonite. And you remember, won't you, the book of Nehemiah? And you remember that man, Tobiah the Ammonite, and with him Sanballat, how that they sought to oppose the work of God as those dear saints had come back from Babylon, and now they were seeking to rebuild the walls and to reestablish something for God there at Jerusalem. And we find that Tobiah, he was grieved with it all. And with Sanballat, he mocked the work of God as it was going on for God. In chapter 4 of the book of Nehemiah, we find that these two men, they were wrath when they saw the work of God making progress. And again we find how that they actually conspired with others to fight against the saints of God to stop the work. Inveterate enemies of what was of God. When I come to chapter 13, I discover that that inveterate enemy that has set himself against what was of God and the re-establishment of what was of God, I discover that the high priest, Eliashib the priest, made an alliance with him and he brought him in. And when he brought him in, child of God, we're told that he brought him into the chamber where before they had made where they had kept all the various things for the offerings and for the maintenance of those that serve the things of God. Child of God, that alliance, that unholy alliance, it caused it to become a sin in the holy things of the Lord. And instead of the things of God going forth and instead of a worship ascending before the Lord, did it discover those Levites that ought to have been ministering before him, every one of them was fled to his Lord. Child of God, this man Eliashib, he had put out
what belonged to God he had brought in, what was not associated with God, and it had caused spiritual things to... We can sin, you know. And we can trespass against the Lord, and child of God, we can trespass grievously. We'll go down the verses a moment, because you'll notice that not only can you trespass in relation to the holy things of the Lord, when I come down to verse 17, it says that they can sin in relation to the commandments of the Lord. The holy things, it would seem to me, would be as they would move before him in relation to the service in the tabernacle. Now, child of God, when there's a deliberate violation of the word of God itself, our brother last night was bringing before us things that would cause the fire to die. Child of God, here we discover that which can cause sin to come in, or a trespass to come in, and the divine rights to be violated. Child of God, are there any in the room today that are doing those things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord? Remember a David? Remember an Achan? The word of God was sure, wasn't it, in connection with them both? I remember that man Achan, there in the book of Joshua in chapter 8. As everything is exposed, the folly he'd brought upon Israel. How, child of God, the victory had gone, had been lost. No blessing now. Ai didn't fall as Jericho had fallen. When they'd approached Jericho, the mind of God had been fulfilled. Until an Achan, it tells us, I saw, I coveted, I took. His eye, I saw. His heart, I coveted. His hand, I took. When God had said that with Jericho, that everything within that land, it had to be destroyed or burnt or given to God, he was a man that violated the commandments of the law. And child of God, the children of Israel, they lost sorely in a day, from that day onwards when they came up to Ai, they lost out sorely because of what an Achan did. I wonder, child of God, are there hindrances today in the great work of God in the assembly to which you are associated? Are we sinning in relation to the commandments of the Lord? Brother, sister, could you honestly turn to every portion here as far as you know? And whatever God has set before you, could you honestly before him bow the knee and let it be known that those things are being carried out in your life? Or, child of God, are there certain portions that you discarded? Are there certain portions that you set on one side? Are there verses you're not prepared to come up to? Or you'll make all excuses for them? I know what it says, but... And I could stop, you know, just now. I could start to make mention, child of God, of certain things, couldn't I? Brother, sister, can I say again, these are not optional exclusions. When you got saved, and when God set his mind out for us, God was expecting that you and I should fulfill the divine mind. And when these things are set out, that we should be carrying out what he has taught. We can sit in holy things. Child of God, we can trespass in connection with the commandments of the Lord. God has got rights. You and I have been brought under those rights. And those rights should be fulfilled. I say it. But I want to get restored. How can I get restored? Well, let's look back again, please. For he says here in verse 15, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram. A ram. I like that. You know, whenever I come across a sheep or a goat, I notice that they're usually in connection with sin offerings. Certainly on the Day of Atonement, it was a goat that was used in connection with sin. But when I come to the consecration of the priest in chapter 8 of this book, I discover, child of God, it was by the ram of consecration. And I'm glad that when I come to this here, that God is going to tell me how to get restored. Child of God, it's a ram I'm going to bring. And I have to go to the flock and I have to bring a ram and nothing but a ram. It's the only thing that can be brought. You see, I've lost my consecration. And in chapter 8, it is the ram of consecration. And what I'm going to do is reconsecrate this life of mine again. And therefore I'm going to bring the ram. But child of God, amends have got to be made. And I've got to recognize the need to put matters right. So I'm going to bring a ram without blemish out of the flocks with thy estimation. What is this? It seems now that what the person is going to do, he is simply going to estimate how much God has been robbed. What does this violation of divine principles cost God? And if I've not been giving God his due, how much has God lost? But child of God, God wants it back again. You see, it's not enough to bring the ram of consecration. You've also got to bring back to God what God has lost. So you're going to reconsecrate your life, and God is still going to get what he has been robbed of in a day gone by. And you're going to give it back again. You're going to bring it with your estimation of what God has been robbed of in a day gone by. But notice, when you come down to verse 16, we'll not touch the shekel of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary. In other words, it's not my estimation. I must get an appreciation of what God wants. It's the shekel of the sanctuary, and I'm going to give God back what he decreed. But verse 16, for the sake of time, he shall make amends of the harm which he hath done in the holy things, and shall add a fifth part thereto. You see, child of God, he didn't just bring God back what he'd been lost of. But he also brought a fifth part more. 20% interest. I think that's the fifth, isn't it? 20% more God is going to get than what he'd have got if he had never failed at all. So that if perchance I'd rob God of £100, I don't just bring him £100 back, $100. I don't just bring him $100, you know. I've got to bring him $120. The child of God, all that God has been robbed of in a day gone by, he's going to get that back. He's going to get more. And he's going to be a lot better off now. But you see, there's going to be an added 20% to that. I like that, you know. But it seems to tell me that when I am going to reconsecrate this life of mine to God again, and I'm going to realize how God has been violated, how I failed God and I failed God miserably, I've not been what I ought to be, I have not kept his word as I ought to have kept it, the assembly has lost as a result of the kind of life that I've been living. And I've lost too because I've not been fulfilling the mind of God as the word of God has taught. And I'm going to put all the matters right again and I'm going to see that God gets it back again. But I'm going to do a wee bit more than that. I'm going to see that God is going to get far more now than ever he would have got before. So that, child of God, when I put my life back again and I rectify things with God, I tell you, not just of the ordinary status, but there's going to be far more put into it. And I tell you, it's a blessed thing when you see saints recovered
and to see again the zeal they put into things, and the energy they put into things. They've realized they failed God. But child of God, they're never going to fail him again. He's not only going to get the estimation of what he's been robbed of, but he's going to get the fifth part more. You know, if we had time to go into all the details, we haven't really. I could have taken you back to the book of Genesis, and I could have shown you that when Joseph, he bought all the land for Pharaoh, you know. And it was by that fifth part, by that 20%, it's as if it was a foretaste that everything was for a Pharaoh, child of God. If you fail God, you're going to make matters right. From that day onwards, I tell you, things will never be the same again. God is going to be much better off, and you're going to be far more devoted, and you're going to give more than ever you would have given before. Have we failed in the holy things? Have we failed in connection with the commandments of the law? Then, child of God, it's time that we started to put matters right. It's time that we saw to it that our lives were dedicated again. It's time that we saw that God got his 20%. We haven't time to go into chapter 6 to show you that I can't only trespass against God, but child of God, I can trespass against you. I can violate your rights too. For God hasn't only got rights, but the saints of God have got rights. And again, if we were to go through it, we would see the same principles brought out. There is a difference. In connection with the trespass Godward, they brought the ram first. They got the sin question settled first. For the ram was about the sin question. They brought the ram first and got that settled first. And then they brought the estimation on the fifth part. But I do notice, in connection with the brethren, that in chapter 6, verses 1 to 7, the first thing they did was they went and got right with the brethren first. But you see, it's not enough to say, well, I'm right with God, you know. No, you're not, brother, sister. If something has come in to mar your fellowship with your fellow saints, you cannot be right with God. The Bible makes it clear in verse 2, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord. So you see, if I sin against you, I'm not only sinning against you, I'm sinning against God. And I can't just say, well, I've made the matter right with God, you know. Everything's... That won't do. You've got to put the matter right with your brethren. And when you come to verse 1 again, you can see that the sin is really against the brethren. Lie under his neighbour in that which was delivered him to keep, a breach of trust. Or in fellowship, that would seem to be unfairness in partnership. In things taken away by violence, by violent appropriation. Or again, fraud in trading, he's deceived his neighbour. Or he's found that which was lost and lieth concerning it, illegal retention. I would love to have taken you through those through the book of 2 Timothy and show you, child of God, how that there was a spiritual significance about them too. Lie unto his neighbour in that which was delivered him to keep. And I remember how that Paul would speak to a Timothy and say, keep the entrusted deposit. But then he would remind us of those that have forsaken me. And a tragedy, child of God, when the word of God has been laid in a brother's hand, and sadly that brother is not prepared to set the truth of God before the saints of God for the good of the saints of God. Robbing me! Withholding the truth of God! I need it! I must have it! How am I going to understand what is of God, and how am I going to live aright if I don't know it? When those brethren that have got the truth of God in their hand and been given an entrusted deposit, and they hold it back. Child of God, not like Paul, when he says he held back nothing that was popular. All the truth of God set before the saints of God because they needed it. Oh, I'd better stop. But one thing is sure. Child of God, they needed to put those matters right again. And to see to it that they set everything out as they ought to do before God. So that neither God was being robbed, nor my fellow brother was being robbed. And that our lives were for his pleasure and for his glory. Don't let the fire go out, child of God. But if
trespassers come in, put the matters right,
so that God is glorified in my life from this day on.